example, even in service here at Morgan Hill and Bethel Baptist Church. And then we encourage you to take the hymn book with you and open on page 255. And for those who are listening over the internet at this time, also we welcome you and we hope that this service will be a great benefit to your life as we study one of the key issues in the life of a church, evangelism and mission. So let us sit together, 255 in our hymn book. Blessed are we pray this evening that you will bless our life as we search the scripture and see this great issue that is presented to us over and over again, what the church should do. And one of the works of the church is evangelism and the missions of expanding the gospel. Help us to understand the function and the work that the scripture requires from us. And above all, Father, we pray that as we praise your name, our heart be filled with joy because of who you are, a wonderful and powerful God. Bless those who are in need of you. Bless Mrs. Campana, we pray again, that she felt and she need the strength to recover. And Jesus, we pray with thanksgiving. Amen. All right, we always look for those songs that comes into your heart and you request it, and certainly we will open up this. Now, here's a man who confused me. I look in the control room today, and I see Gregory's face. I said, oh, I'm Team Visions. I'm still in vacation. And so I don't realize it was him. So I go in the trailers, and I see him coming down. So, oh, it was him. At the beginning, it was not. Okay, Gregory, good to have you here. 334. Yes, indeed. Wonderful. Gregory comes from the school. We'll go back to school, what, tonight? Tuesday. And then be back to our celebration. 334, Be Thou My Vision.
Thank you.
now you are listening, you can request a song too by typing into our BBCMH chat room and requested a song. In the meantime, Candice is going to select one. 236, talking about the extraordinary and mighty grace of God. And when we sing 236, we have to sing the four stanzas, because that would be a complete song then. You for tomorrow, as Martha Peretti spoke this morning to you, tomorrow she's going to teach on the ladies at 7 p.m. Make an effort to be here and enjoy her teaching and her letters from the people who she teaches. And I tell you, I read those letters and they are very emotional. This is the first time, I think, in so many years of ministry that many have come to know the Lord. And it's just a miracle of miracles. I've been with those boys who were in drugs and now in the hands of God. It's just fantastic. So don't miss tomorrow at 7 p.m. All right? 7 p.m. in the night. And I know the ladies always have cookies and things like that. And you can enjoy it. Leave the leftovers for the pastor and the preacher. And never... Oh, you do. You like it. You learn it. You're learning the trick for the pastors. All right. That's fantastic. All right. Mrs. Otero, you have a song you like to sing? After your vacation, you're relaxing. You can serve your husband with more power. All right. 512. All right.
Thank you.
do in the evening service. We sing all these dances to honor the altar and to learn what the other stanzas said. Usually we sing first and last, or first and second, and that way we enjoy the whole song. So you tell me, what other song? All right, Tricia.
270.
270. Here's what we're going to do. 270. All right. Why? I should not memorize what that song is. Losing my memory and my hair. All right. 270. The Heaven of Rest. That's an old song. We use it in the radio to pop up. All right. All the four stanzas together. The Heaven of Rest.
Thank you.
is, I get both of you, all right? The little one first. Say it again. 212. Sorry, my ears. Too much water. All right. Yeah, because I swim a lot, and when I get water in my ears, I can really hear. Thank you very much. All right. We sing the four stanzas of Nothing by the Blood, and the next one and last one will be yours. What is it?
256.
I hear that one. All right. 212. Here we are, number 212. Nothing by the Blood, like we talked today in the Lord's Supper. Close with "It Is Well With My Soul." If I think it is the song that one of our members now in the presence of God was "It Is Favor," and you remember him. I read the Bible, all right. And were you here, Greg, when he was here? Brother Vitola was an excellent Bible reading, full of enthusiasm. He was bakery man for Safeway store. He was the chief bakery man for Safeway store. Then he moved to Reno, Nevada, and there he went to be with the Lord. Very young in life, and has hepatitis, I think it's C. When I was young, I contracted hepatitis A and went away. And amazing things, but because of the sport, went away. But it's very killing. Hepatitis is a silent killing. He went to a place where it was hard for the ambulance to come in because of the snow, and it was too late, and he passed away. Great man of God. So we sing together 256, "It Is Well with my soul. Helping us day in and day out with the piano. And thank you for all of those, include Tayan, who with great effort cover us in these 2 week vacation, as I say in the morning, were something special, something different, and something good. And I was able to enjoy the good weather of Mexico, 110 degrees solid, morning and evening. Unusually warm, and except the last 2 days, it was normal, 75, 80, and the people were with blankets, because it was 80 degrees, and they said, can you imagine the winter is on us? 80 degrees. How different it is. I was in Nicaragua, too, and it was 80 degrees, and they knocked my door. I was sleeping in homes, people homes, and he said, Pastor, I'm sorry, we bring the heater, you know, those kerosene heaters and blankets. He said, what happened? He says, 80 degrees today. It's just amazing. When you are in a weather that's solid, 100, 110, 80 degrees looks like winter. But when we left land and get out in San Francisco, that looks like winter to me. And it was 80 because you feel the coldness. All right. Tonight you have the page where we continues in these biblical series, biblical foundation series of studies. And we really like to keep on doing. And eventually, this is a conversation teaching where you participate in the evening with me as we look to the scripture, more like a Sunday school style class should be. And the lessons are going to compress them and maybe 4 or 8 studies and teach it in the morning as a teaching tool so the church knows some criteria on theology. But the first lesson was Bible essentials, and was to know what the Bible was. And the second was sin and salvation. So what is sin and what is salvation? The second was repentance and baptism. A very good teaching on what is repentance and what is baptism. Then the Holy Spirit work, what the Holy Spirit does in our life. Then the discipline of prayer, personal prayer. We took 2 classes for that. Personal prayer, that's very important. And I tell you, one of the things that I did there in Mexico, I get up at 4, I got a cup of tea and went in my balcony. The place that I was a great balcony looking into the ocean and looking into trees and mountains and into great nature. And I pray a lot. And I really enjoy praying right with the nature is. And we studied last time I was here, faith and hope. The difference of faith and hope. What's the difference between faith and hope? Now, tonight is a great issue because there's a lot of division in church theology about evangelism and mission. And I want to discover with you in the scripture what is the teaching. Now, the key verse will be in Matthew's Gospel, in the last chapter of Matthew's Gospel, in chapter 28, and you know these verses almost by heart. In verse 19 and 20, this is the classical verses, the Church of God uses it, at least the Protestant Church uses for evangelism and missions. And here's what the verse said. Jesus' words are there. And in verse 18, at the end of verse 18, he put a seal of his kingdom. He said, all power is given unto me in heaven and on earth. So what he's going to say now is final. He said, go ye therefore, verse 19, and teach all nations, or disciple of nations, then, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, or the Holy Spirit. Then he added, after this event take place, after salvation take place, he said, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Now, it's a very simple principle in these verses, and the principle is this. You cannot teach the Bible to instruct and build up the life of a person unless the person get to know God first. See, here's what verse 19 said. Teach them, disciple them. You get to know God, you get to read the Bible, and now you grow. Because if the person doesn't know the Bible, it's very difficult. Looks like it's against you, but he's not, or she is not, because doesn't know the scripture. And so that's the patience that we have to have. So now, with that in mind, I need to go and disciple, and I need to go and teach. Let's see how we're going to do this outside the church. Point A is everyone is a minister. You know, what is a minister? The word minister means to serve, a servant. See, in America, the president has no ministers, but he has secretaries. secretary of this, secretary of that, secretary of state. In any other country, is a minister. In England, is a minister. It's not a secretary. A servant. All right? A servant. All right. Now, point number one said, what ministry has God given to each believer? If you turn your Bible to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 18 and 19, I read it and you tell me what minister, what service God has given to each believer, not to pastors only, but to each believer. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 18 and 19. And all things are of God, who have reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and have given us the ministry of reconciliation, to wit, that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Each believer has a ministry. It is? What means that? Reunite what? God and man. He passed the test. All right. That was good. All right. He passed the test. Each ministry has, each member of the church has a job to do. The children have a job to do. And it's bringing people to Christ. Is uniting people back again with God. That's the ministry that everyone should have. Question number two is this. What does it mean to us, for us, to be Christ's ambassadors? Look in verse 20. Same chapter, verse 20. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead to be reconciled to God. What is the function of an ambassador in distinction to the function of a diplomat? When I was young, I entertained the idea. I know where Jacqueline got the idea to be an ambassador. I entertained the idea, and I studied in the University of Philosophy I wanted to be an ambassador, see? And I learned a few tricks, in a sense, I learned a few basic thoughts about it. What's the difference between a diplomat and an ambassador? Anybody? Brother Jack, you are a politician.
Well, ambassador represents the country.
Yes, sir.
A diplomat really engages in negotiation.
Exactly. A diplomat goes in and tries to make a deal. An ambassador said, this is my country, and this is where I stand, and it's almost, when you're in an embassy, you are in the territory of that country. Is that right? That's what it is. So much, for example, there are embassies cannot be attacked or anything because it will be an offense to the country if that happens. So here's what God said here. You are ambassadors for Christ. What that imply then? As you are an ambassador for Christ and represent Christ, what is the implication is? Yeah, but what is the implication? See, let me rewrite the question.
An advocate.
You cannot compromise what God said. The ambassador for Christ has the word of God as his authority, and he cannot make a deal. He can tell like it is. We are an ambassador for Christ. And people say, well, you know, this and the other. No. Either is white or black. An ambassador doesn't deal on the gray. He's just tell it like it is. All right. And so God said you are an ambassador. So when you tell some people, you tell it with love and care, but you tell the truth of the word of God straightforward. All right. Like some people say, well, we all Christians are the same. Then you are an ambassador. You say, I'm sorry to say that. Looks good, but that's in, the Bible doesn't say that we're all the same, unless we all believe the same. And in other words, you are right on the line. Question number three. How do other people know that we are followers of Christ? That's a very interesting question in view of the verse in John chapter 13 and in verse 35. How the people will know without you telling that you are a Christian. how that they will know that you are a follower of Christ. The Bible reads in this way in John Gospel chapter 13, verse 35. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if you know Hebrew. So Greg studied hard. No, the Bible said, if ye have loved one another. There's a tremendous spirit that drives the church, and is the love of God and the love for one another. That requires putting your shoulders, that requires patience, that requires kindness, that requires truthfulness. In other words, it is a demanding thing. That the issue that thrills the church and keeps the church alive is love. Today we have a great large group in Jack in the Box. I call it Jacqueline in the Box. We have a large group. Well, three quarters of the place was Bethel. And Martha and George, I brought him there. I said, this is no special food. It's French food. So they went to see French food. And they saw that this church has love. That's what they said. Boy, this is a strong church, said George. George speak very few words. He said, this is a strong church because they really have love. And you know, I was impressed by that. And that's wonderful. So much that now there are people who come at the same time that we come to be in our table. You met the lady, she must be 80 or something. She just come, just waiting for us to come in, sit by Dana. We invite her to come to church, and we invite her for the come to anniversary. She says, well, I never went to church, and she sits over there at the 11th hour, 80 years old, trying to find out what God is. And she participates now in our conversation. Before was very reluctant. But now she comes to Jack in the Box at the time we come so that she can sit with us. She's alone in life. Her husband died. And children are away. She's alone in life. And how wonderful. How wonderful. The people can distinguish Bethel by the love that we have for one another. Remember that. All right. Question number four. This is a question that you need to go to Romans chapter 1. In the meantime, I read the question. What was Paul's attitude towards sharing the gospel with non-Christians? And I'm going to read three verses, read one, and you look on it. All right? What was Paul's attitude towards sharing the gospel with non-Christians? Romans 1, verse 14. I am a debtor both to the Greeks, that means Gentiles, and to the barbarians, that means those who do not know God, both to the wise and to the unwise. Attitude number one. He was? Yeah, he said, you know, I'm not about them. I owe them the gospel. Now, when you have that kind of attitude, then you really... you really look to people for sharing the gospel. Know about the people. Know the problem the people have. You really move on and look, how can I help this person? I owe this person the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 15. So, as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are in Rome also. Attitude number one, I'm a debtor, I'm in debt to these people. Attitude number two, what's the verb? I am ready. No, all the time we are ready, you know? I'm ready. And the less moments of your life, you are, some people require an answer from you. Are you too busy to answer them? Are we too involved in the things we do that we will not spend time with that person to help it? So I'm ready. Look at verse 15. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and to the Greek. Now, tell me, verse 16, what is the attitude? I'm not ashamed. I have to tell people what it is. All right? We don't tell people with pride. We don't tell people to put them down. We just tell them with great joy. I'm so glad for that girl who said, oh, here is the happy man, she said. And she was, you know, there are sales, condos and timesharings, and the cell phones are everywhere there. And I was just going back to my room, take the elevators. Oh, here comes the happy man. See? And the key is that we need to be not only ready, but we do not have shame. We just tell people, yes, we are a believer in Christ Jesus. That's what it is. When you eat in a restaurant and you pray, that's a big testimony, don't it? That's a big testimony. I never expected. We were in the Hilton Hotel. Raquel went to do some work in Family Radio, went with her to review a few things in the school, and we went to the Hilton Hotel to eat. We are in this beautiful, nice area. It's on. We were praying. We got up, and here was a policeman in front of me, and the mayor of the city that now is our state, he was a governor before. Brown. He said, we are proud of you. Praying in this fancy hotel. We are proud of you. And he shook my hand. And the policeman said, I'm a believer. He said, how nice if we're just eating here and so on. He said, we need more people like that. I don't say anything. We pray together. Don't be ashamed to be a Christian anywhere. All right? So you got a ministry. It's not only the ministry of the pastor, Gabriel Otero, Pastor Thompson, and our 12 missionaries. No. Everyone in this church is a minister, a servant. All right? Evangelism and missions. First, everyone is a minister. Number B, or point B, boldness. Question one, under the threat of persecution, what did the disciples pray for? So let's go to Acts chapter 4. They were persecuted, and they were prohibited to share the gospel. And in Acts chapter 4, and in verse 29, we have this evaluation. Here's what the Bible says, Acts chapter 4, and verse 29. And now, Lord, look at this, look how they pray. Behold their threatening, and grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak thy word. What was their prayer under the threat of persecution? Boldness. Boldness means what? You just stand strong and tell it like it is. That's not what happened. All boldness. All right? Question two. After Saul's conversion, how long did he wait until he preached the gospel? So let's go to Acts chapter 9 and verse 19 and then verse 20. Verse 19, and when he had received meat, he was strengthened. This is Saul. Then was Saul certain days with the disciples, which were at Damascus. And straightway he preached Christ in the synagogue that he is the Son of God. How long took this person, after salvation, to preach the gospel? Few days. Once he understood what was going on, did not wait any longer. Then, question number three, what does Proverbs say about those who fear other people? Let's go to Proverbs here in the Old Testament in chapter 29 and in verse 25. Proverbs 29 and verse 25. The fear of man bringeth a snare, but whose putteth his trust in the Lord shall be saved. So the question again, what does Proverbs say about those who fear other people? Bring what? Snare. What's a snare? Yeah. Imagine if I had to preach here, or Pastor Thompson, or Ramil had to preach here, afraid of somebody. Boy, if I preach in this way, so-and-so is going to be upset. Or if I say these things, maybe so-and-so. You know, when I preach, I'm free. I just tell you what the scriptures say. That's it, whether you like it or not. And when Greg preached, when Ramil preached, we just read the scripture and unfold the scripture for you. Each one and the gift that God has given, but we trust the scripture. We are not looking for, oh no, I cannot say this because of this, or I cannot say this because of this. One time I was invited to a church, very large church, 4,000 members. And they said, you cannot say a few things. One of them is that you cannot get divorced. And you cannot say these others. So I said, well, call another speaker. Because I don't plan to teach divorce or not, but it could come into the picture. And you know, you cannot put, what do you call it, the horse before the bride? Yeah, you cannot put that in the mouth of a preacher. You have to let him preach the word. All right? Now, we go to point number C here. And a spiritual conflict and evangelism. What has happened to unbelievers? You know, why we were unbelievers before? Second Corinthians, you know this as soon as you look on it. Chapter 4. And verse 4, what has happened to unbelievers? 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 4. Let me read verse 3. But if our gospel is hid, it is hid to them they are lost, and whom the God of this world had blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. What happened to the unbeliever? To us before? We are blind. And who blind us? Satan. Thank you. Here's what they said. In whom the God of this world, which is Satan, has blind. Now, I want to tell you what is called hyper-reformation. Or hyper-Calvinism, known in history. And here's what it is. They take these texts, and they said, in whom the God of this world, and they said, this is our God. So God has blinded them, so that God forbid them to believe. Now, never happened this in the scripture. Christ has not come, and God said, I will not save you. And blind some people. We are born blind. Is that right? We are born blind. That's the story. We are born with no idea of the gospel. We are born rejecting God left and right. And God is in business of giving us the light to save us and to bring us into his kingdom. Question number 2. How are people taken captive? You are in Corinthians. Go to the right to Colossians. Chapter 2 and verse 8. Look what the scripture says. Colossians chapter 2 and verse 8, just to the right of the scripture you were reading before. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceits, after the traditions of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. Now, how can you ruin your life? Really, in theology. How are people taking captive away from the real theology? What the verse says? Beware lest any man, what? Spoil you through what? Number one, philosophy. What is philosophy? Philosophy is the thinking of man. And watch out. You read books about the Bible. These are the people who wrote about it and philosophically they interpret the scripture. You should read the Bible by yourself, alone, with all other books around. Philosophy. And vain deceit. What does that mean, vain deceit? They're trying to rob you, all right? And then, after the what? Traditions of men. Roman Catholicism is founded upon one of the pedestals, Roman Catholicism. One is the Bible. Second is tradition. And then the third one is academic knowledge. Tradition. And the traditions of who? Of man. As the rudiments of the world. And so if you try to interpret the Bible by other people saying something, there is a danger. That's why I don't like to write books. I like to write the paperworks where you look on it. Because I don't want anybody to follow my thinking. I want you to follow God's word. That's very important. So there's a spiritual conflict. You can be spiritual minded and read these books who talks about marriage, or these books who talks about raising children, or this book about this. And maybe it's a good writing, but it's not necessarily what the Bible says. And that's the important part. That's why in Sunday school, the best way I can teach you is to teach you a book of the Bible. Tricia. Rudiments of the world. Is anybody helping us with rudiments of the world? Say it, Brother Jack. The principles can be done. If your Bible say principle? Yeah. So the foundation. In other words, if you take other basis knowledge of this guy, you make that your foundation. And I think that Bible is well translated, Deborah. It's good. It's good to have a class like that where we all participate. You see, you never know. You are studying the scripture, but you are studying through somebody else. And this somebody else may be good or maybe having his own ideas. And that's how things start. I tell you, I saw this in my 38 years of pastorship and in radio. I saw these people teaching these unusual doctrines, weird things, ruining marriage because of what they taught. It's just sad, absolutely sad, 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 sad. Let me give you an example. Somebody taught that if you are married and you were divorced before and now you are married, you cannot any longer have intimacy with your wife. And somebody who was serious believing that, very holy, stopped having intimacy with his wife. And my janitor found him sleeping with my secretary. See? And you cannot go against law, against the law of God. You cannot go against the law of God. Cannot do that. So be aware that when you hear something or you read something, you compare that to the scripture. And let the scripture alone tell you the rules, all right? The best way is to read the scripture. You don't know, you have a topic in mind, you don't know what it is, just call us and we'll let you know where the scriptures are. And that's it. All right. Number three, who are we struggling against? I'm going to preach on the pastor's conference on this. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 12. I'm going to preach about 6 hours about this text. This is the text that was given me. If it's confirmed, that I'll be their teacher. Ephesians 6 verse 12. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood. What does that mean? Other people. Thank you, Greg. We don't wrestle against other people. Look at what it is. But against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against the spiritual wickedness in high places. We are wrestling against Satan, period. That's what it is. All right? Now, for your information, I don't put it in the notes, but as I'm teaching, I don't want to leave you defenseless. So put one hand in Ephesians and go with me to 1 John chapter 4. And verse 4, almost to the end of your Bible. 1 John chapter 4 and verse 4. Now, just for this verse, you put on the sleeve, all right? We are wrestling against Satan. He says, oh, we cannot make it. Look at here. 1 John 4:4. Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Now, who is he that is in me? Go with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 16. And you will know who is the he that is in me. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 16, know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? So when you become a believer, the Holy Spirit came on you. All right? If you don't know that, go with me to Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 13. And look what God said in Ephesians 1:13. And whom ye also trust, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and whom also, after that ye believe, what happened? Ye were sealed. There is no after. There is an after. You hear the word, and after. Because, you know, you cannot be a believer the first time you hear the word. But the Bible says, after that you hear the word of truth, after that you believe, boom, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of God, instantaneously. And so, greater is the Holy Spirit that is in you than the one that's in the world. It is true, the question is well done, who are we struggling against it? We are struggling against Satan, who, you read those things, principalities and this and the other, take different forms. Maybe your boss. Maybe your husband, your wife, somebody who's unbeliever and is under the power of Satan is attacking you. But listen, greater is he that is in you than the one is in the world. Period. And nobody can overcome. Question number 4. What happened when Paul preached? That's good. Acts chapter 16. All right. Acts chapter 16 and verse 14. What happened when Paul preached? And a certain woman named Lydia, a seller of purple of the city of Thyatira, which worshiped God, heard us, whose heart the Lord opened, that she attended unto the things which were spoken of Paul. And when she was baptized and her household, she besought us, saying, if ye have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come into my house and abide there. And she constrained us. What happened to Paul as he was preaching? Somebody got saved. How did somebody got saved? The Lord opened the heart. Is that right? And that's what I do every morning. I don't pressure. I don't call it. God call it. As you preach the word, God called them. And many who are here in our church have been saved through the ministry of the word of God. All right? One of them is our brother Pereira here. One never forgot. One evening in prayer meeting, he told us, I'm a believer. What? We were surprised. Because that's the way God's work. When the word of God is preached, God opens the hearts of people and they become believers. All right? Now, question number 5. What must happen if people are to come to Christ? Chapter 6 of the Gospel of John and verse 44. For somebody to come to Christ, this is what you need to understand. This needs to happen. Chapter 6 of the Gospel of John and verse 44. No man can come to me. Nobody can come to Christ except the Father which has sent me draw him, and I will raise him up on the last day. See, Christ rejects nobody. He doesn't make a selection. Whatever comes to Christ, what he said, I save him. So what might need to happen if people are to come to Christ? What might need to happen? But say it again. The Father. We have to pray then for unbelievers to say, Lord, have mercy on them and draw them to your Son. See? We have a great tool because we know that when the Father sent it, Jesus promised here, the Father sent it to me, then I save him. Jesus do not make discrimination. Praise God for that. All right? Now, conclusion. How will you apply this lesson to your life? And now is your turn to speak. Tell me, how you apply this lesson that we saw in the business that you are a minister of God to your life? How you do that? How you put it together to your life? What will give you an idea to do? What enlightenment have come to your life tonight? Yes, Terry? Being boldly. Being boldly. Speak the word without in kindness and gentleness, but without shame. All right? That's a good one. What else you can draw to your life in this? All right? Pardon me? Be a reflection of Christ. Don't be a reflection of a theory or a theology. People say, we hold this theology. Keep it to yourself. We hold Christ. That is the key. All right? Good. Any other idea? See? Now, to me, is this. We have 12 missions, but really we have 120, whatever we are, missionaries. That's a lesson I learned. I don't have 12 missionaries that we support. We have 120. Whatever attend the church and is a member of this church, about 110, 120, these are our missionaries. You are a missionary, all right? Children can be missionary by passing a tract, you know, a little Bible to somebody. It's just outstanding. So may the Lord encourage your heart. The church is not Pastor Otero, Pastor Thompson, Ramil, Brother Cassandra. The church is you. And you are the missionaries. You know, right? Thank you, Lord. You challenge tonight all of us to be bold for the gospel of Christ with kindness and meekness. And you challenge us to support the church with strength and might. Thank you, Lord, that this is not a professional ground. This is a ground where we all are involved as ministers of Christ. Oh, help us to serve you in whatever capacity you want us to serve. In Jesus we pray with thanksgiving. Amen. The Lord bless you if you're in the internet. May God give you a great week and see you on Wednesday on the internet.